Welcome into this episode of the Super Sumo Brothers podcast, and I'm here, as always,
with who brother. Though?
Well, it says Andrew on my screen right now. So
okay,
I go with Andrew.
There we
this
go.
Time. It was pretty sure it was Andy last time. So
yeah, we'll rotate him.
And I'm gonna come out and say it right now. This tournament is bananas. It's official.
It's been a while since I've actually been truly excited. There's parts of it I'm very disappointed. But I don't know if I'm this excited because, I mean, heads up, spoiler, in case anyone hasn't watched the first 9 days, we're recording through 9 days.
Yeah.
So spoiler, turn it off now.
Turn it off. Okay.
All right. Now with Takayasu sitting at 8-1, I'm ecstatic. I'm super
I know,
excited.
I was like, he's gonna be so pumped about that.
It's funny because it's one guy that I feel like we've talked about so much where like Takayomi's won twice, so like we know he's already won one. We're always disappointed when he doesn't one win, but like Takayasu I feel like has that potential, just hasn't been able to get that monkey off his back and get it. And just to kind of, you know, he's sitting at 8-1. He's also looking at, he's sitting at a good 8-1. Like he's looking healthy.
Yeah, he's looking really good too. Like all of his wins, I feel like, have been really good.
Yes. Like, you know, I don't remember if last tournament, if he had his elbow wrapped still from the injury he suffered like earlier last year, but he doesn't have, he has no bandages on. He's like very fluid. He's looking very sharp. I mean, besides losing on day one, I mean, he's looked really good for the rest of the tournament, and I really hope he takes it.
He's got a beast nipping at his heels, though. Terunofuji has looked pretty good. I wouldn't say obviously not as equally as good, but he's, if anybody's going to take it from him, since, you know, Hakuho's gone, because that's a whole thing.
It's funny. I it happened so early that I forgot he was even present for 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
Like now thinking about it, I was like, oh yeah, Hakuho was here for a couple days.
And he did exactly what we talked about last episode, where he loses one. And he's like, nah, I'm out.
Actually, so I think he won two, and then he pulled out because of he re-injured his right leg. I'm pretty sure he had won both.
He won the first 2 days.
Yeah, and then he pulled out.
Then he pulled out, yeah.
Yeah.
So not entirely. I take it back.
Yeah, so but quick update on him. He did have surgery, and he is sitting out May. He'll be back for July, which I think is going to be a do or die situation for him.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah,
I think at this point, you gotta.
Yeah, and I think Kakeru, another person who's
Kakeru's done. Like he's done. I think after this tournament, I think they announced that he's done, or he announces that he's done.
I could see them giving them one more shot in May, but I think I could see it. Like I'll give it like a 60% chance that they force him to retire after this tournament. They're waiting until the end. They'll announce it like 2 or 3 days afterwards, not to take away from the winner. And then that'll be it. But so back to Takayasu. And his 8-1, you know, yes, he does have Terunofuji, who's, like you said, I think he's looked really good. He only needs, some people were saying he's going to need 10 wins, but I thought that might get him to 34. So maybe it's 34 wins. I always thought it was 33, but I mean, he'll get 3 wins out of the next 7 or 6. So he'll likely be Ozeki next tournament, which would be a great story. Good on him. We'll have 4 maybe Ozeki, depending on how Takakesho how Shodai does. Oh no, Takakesho, he has to, yeah, he's Katabon right now.
Yeah.
I think he's looking, the leaderboard's looking pretty good right now. I'm pretty excited.
Yeah, and Takakesho's got 6 wins already. He'll be okay.
And if there's some
Shodai in it.
I would say almost like the Ozekis overall are kind of Ozeki-ing it for the most part. I mean, Shodai's looked bad.
Asunayama's 6-3, Takakesho's 6-3.
Part of leaderboard too, you know.
Man, this leaderboard is so bananas. I'm just looking at it right now again. It's like It's all 5-4s, 6-3s, and 7-2s. Like, it's nuts.
Yeah, I think the 5-4s, you're probably out of it. I mean, if you go 11-4, it's actually 0.55% chance of winning with 4 four losses. With threes, it's 6.84%. So you really, you're looking at your top three guys, Takayasu, Taro Fuji, and Chiyo Nakuni, who has actually been kind of a surprise. Sitting at 7-2 right there. I don't know if he's a legit shot at it since he's kind of sitting so low.
I mean, I feel like that's, if it comes down to it, he's going to get, I mean, I love Chiyo Nakuni, don't get me wrong, but I think he gets lit up by Taro Fuji if they fight.
Yeah, and I was actually looking at Takayasu's numbers, because Takayasu obviously hasn't fought Chiyo Nakuni yet, because Chiyo Nakuni's down in Magashira 9.
Yeah.
I kind of put together what I think the field is going to look like for Takayasu over the next 6 days. He has Takakesho tomorrow, 6-6 against him. He hasn't faced Takanosho, who's up in Senyaku. He hasn't faced Shodai, the third Ozeki. He's 8-11 against him. I'm guessing if he performs well, and depending on how some of these other guys perform well, I took a look at who else is on the leaderboard. So Chiyo Nakuni, he's 5-1. He's actually the only person he has a winning record against in, or I guess Taratsuyoshi is the other one, 1-0, on my field of 8 or 9 potential people he could face in the next 6 days.
Yeah.
But yeah, he still has a couple guys that he hasn't performed well, you know, even with Takakesho, losing record against Takanosho, losing record against Shodai, losing record against Wakataka Kage as well, who's sitting at Magashira 2. So, I don't know. I want Takayasu to finish. I don't.
He has looked good. Like, I feel like this is his tournament to lose.
I agree.
I would say that. I would say that, but Taro Fuji's still in it.
Yes.
Like, that's the only, that's really, I think, realistically, like, that's the only person who could beat him, like, and that he wouldn't be beating himself. Like, yeah. Taro Fuji is the wall right now. Because he's already gone through the Ozeki for the most part.
He's got one left, yeah.
Yeah, he's got one more left. Yeah.
And then, like, some of the other ones I picked that might be lower rank, like, Ichinojo's looked kind of good. Because, like, the top of the Magashira, it's not all that great. So, honestly, I think if Ichinojo performs well, you could see like a day 12 or day 13 Takayasu versus Ichinojo, where they kind of, because I don't think Ichinojo is like low enough and not reputable enough to warrant some kind of matchups head to head. Like, it's not like he's just some like random Juryo guy. Like, he's a vet. He's been up.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that would be a really good fight. Ichinojo, because they've fought each other before, I'm sure.
Yep, they actually have a, I think they're 6-6. Let me see what I have here.
Yeah, if that's the case, that'd be a great fight.
Yeah, so that's another one I had. Because, like, the top of the Magashira right now, I mean, 1-8. I mean, he's already beaten Hokuto Fuji at Magashira 2. He lost to Meisei on day 1. They're not going to put him up against Kiribayama. They're probably not going to do Endo, because it doesn't seem entertaining.
No.
Not Okonomi. Tamawashi's looked good despite being 5-4, and then Ichinojo's on the other side. So,
yeah, I think Ichinojo's,
he could be the lowest, besides if Taratsuyoshi continues to stay on the board, and the same thing with Chiyo Nakuni, those could be the only people lower than Ichinojo that Takayasu could face. And that wouldn't be until probably 13 to 15, somewhere in that range.
Yeah. And then, yeah, I mean, then you see how Taro Fuji does the rest of the trip here. And if I think Takayasu takes at least one more loss before he fights Taro Fuji.
I do too.
That's what I think. I mean, again, I think, still believe that this is his tournament to lose, but minus, again, Taro Fuji. But I think Takayasu of late leads me to believe that he's going to lose one that he shouldn't.
Yeah. And he's actually had a 8-1 record or better 7 times. And he's gone on to do 8-5, 11-4, 11-4, 12-3, 9-6, 11-4, and 10-5. So he ends up like taking these, you know, he's done. I think he's had 2 perfect 8-0s. And I think those were also part of, those finished 11-4 and 10-5. But he seems to like get that 8-1, you know, 7-2 early. Mm-hmm. Or 9-0. I don't know if he's ever done a 9-0. And then he falters on the back end. And I don't know if that's because the guys that he's facing, I didn't look into those specific details, but it seems like in the beginning he starts strong, and then towards the back end is where he starts to take his losses. So like you said, I think there's still,
yeah.
I still think there's going to be one more loss for him in there.
Yeah. And so, I mean, other guys, I mean, everybody on this, everybody in this tournament is worth talking about. Kaisei has looked pretty good at, I mean, Magashira 16, granted, you know, he's fighting the Juryo guys, but like the fact that he's even showing up and has a winning record at this point, 9 days in, I think is pretty impressive at this point. Kodo Echo kind of dropped off the map. I thought he was doing really well to start. Even in his fights that he lost, he looked pretty good.
I would say what I've noticed about Kodo Echo is he seems a lot, I don't know if he seems faster. There seems something like he's got like a spring in his step. I feel like he's been like really quick off the tachi eye. He's been a lot more mobile and getting around.
See, I was going to say that too. I feel like a lot of guys are kind of taking the, like I first noticed it in Tobizaru and Wakataka Kage, and that has kind of like drawn my eye to them. But I've noticed a lot of other guys are kind of, I'm just calling it like the spastic fight, mm-hmm. like where it's just like super twitchy, you're slapping each other like crazy, and like there's no like grabbing mawashis or anything, you're just kind of like throwing yourself at the other person. Yeah, and you're trying to like get them off guard.
Yeah, I wonder if, because a lot of the guys you just mentioned are also smaller in stature, so maybe that's their way of like overcompensating for like not having either the weight or the height for them.
Yeah.
Because Kota Waco is pretty short, along with, Wakataka Kage is pretty short too.
And Ichinojo specifically, I feel like has been, I'm going to see if I can find the fight really quick. Because he fought, I think it was Wakataka Kage, and he lost to him. If it's not Wakataka Kage, it's Tobizaru. But he got like, somebody got in behind him really quick, and it was over. Like, mm-hmm. I feel like I agree with you that it's like some of the bigger guys, I think people are realizing that the bigger guys, you know, can't get around that quick.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, I think Akiseyama had one of those where it was just like, I forget if it was him, but the opponent got behind him and was able to just kind of like twist him around, and then all of a sudden like just kind of escort him out of the ring.
Here's the Tobizaru. I mean, I'm just looking up the... So also, anybody who wants to watch sumo, highly recommend you download BlueStacks. It's like a cell phone emulator. And then you download the Grand Sumo app. And you can watch any fight you want. As far back as, I think they go back at least 10 years. VODs, anytime you want, you can watch. They have the videos up like right as they happen, from my understanding. And if you get them in the first couple of days that the fight happens, they're condensed, so you don't get all the salt throwing. It's just like fight. Watching consecutive videos is kind of a pain in the butt, but I highly recommend it. It's like $4 a month or something. So anyway, there's my plug. And BlueStacks is infamously bad on like computer resources and stuff, so note that if you're gonna try it out. But yeah, so I'm watching the fight right now, and it's Ichinojo and Tobizaru, and it's just like Tobizaru is like flinging himself at him. He doesn't get behind him, but he is like just slapping him in the face like crazy, like pushing up against his chest, like, and then bouncing back, and just like I don't know. It seems like a lot of the smaller guys are kind of taking that strategy.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely agree that. And I've seen, like, once again, I'm getting kind of excited about this, is like leg trips. I'm seeing that a lot. I think we mentioned this last time, some of the newer guys up in the top division are using, they're not necessarily getting the, like, the maneuvers, not a leg trip, but they're like using it to their advantage, like kind of playing a head game with them, like stick their leg behind them and kind of push them. And like Hoshoryu did that with Aoyama. I forget, there was a couple others. Hoshoryu tried a couple of different attempts against Ryuden, got the win, but it wasn't a result of a leg trip. But like, we didn't see a lot of that, I feel like, prior to like, I don't know, 3 or 4 tournaments ago.
Yeah, it's interesting because I feel like we're kind of seeing like a shift in fighting style. Like with Hakuho kind of going away, that it leaves kind of like the old, because Hakuho is like, he fights however he wants, he's amazing, and like he'll do the spastic, he'll do the traditional, he'll do everything, and it's fine. So take him out of the equation. And then you have, so like people who are kind of, I'll call it kind of the Kota Shugiku era, the Goedos, the Kasina Sato era there, of just we're going for an inside or outside grip, and that's like that's where you're going. So you got guys like Taranofuji that'll still do that, like Tochi Noshin will still do that. Ichinojo will do that. Like those are the kind of the guys that are doing the traditional style that we've been seeing with like the Hirumafuji and the Hakuhos. Mm-hmm. But now some of the younger guys that are coming up, like Kota Nowaka is a young guy who I would say is still doing the traditional Kota Shogiku era. He goes for the mwashi, he goes for the inside outside or outside grip, that kind of thing. But like again with Tobizaru and Wakatakage, I think, and even like Endo's is doing it a little bit, like the smaller guys. Ishiura tried it for a while. What the heck's his name? It's escaping me at the moment. The other small guy that everybody loves.
Enho.
Yep. Enho. Like there's a lot of guys I think are going to this new kind of strategy now that, you know, the GOAT, the technical strategist is kind of out of the equation now. It kind of puts less traditional methods back on the table.
Yeah. I think that's also very reflective of the fact that, you know, we haven't had a repeat Yusho winner in a while too. It's like, just like, I feel like everything's kind of the wild, wild west right now.
There's no one technique that's going to win right now. It was the Hakuho way or the highway before, but now that he's gone, who knows what's best.
Yeah. Speaking of technique, I don't know if you saw, but on day 8, Taritsu Yoshi had a match where he got his arm up on the shoulder of Tobizaru. I don't know if you saw this. You'll have to check it out. It was a really good fight.
Day 8, you said?
Yeah, day 8, Taritsu Yoshi versus Tobizaru. He like swings his arm up on his back, and you can just see like he's trying to do something. He ends up grabbing his own arm around Tobizaru's back and like grips it with his wrist, and he then twists and pulls him down, like almost like in a headlock.
I do remember the headlock. Yeah, I saw that and was like, what is he doing?
I've never seen that, where he's usually like, if you get your arm up that high, one, you're probably, the match is going to be over, you're not going to win it, or you're just going to drop it down and grab the mwashi. But he like, you could kind of see he was trying to throw his own arm around Tobizaru to like grab his own wrist and then twist and dump him out. It was an awesome move to see. But
I'm watching him. So like, yeah, they're pretty much like a stand up here, and then Tobizaru gets left hand outside grip, I think is what that's called. Mm-hmm. And so they're kind of just sitting there for a while, and Taritsu Yoshi gets him in like a headlock.
Yeah,
and just like tosses him. Yeah, he grabs his other arm around and just brings him outside. It's less of a toss, more of like a drag. But
yeah.
But those are the kind of things, like, I've never seen.
If I have, it's like usually like an accident or something, like, oh, the guy got him, and then they classified that win as that way. But
And see, it's kind of a bummer that they just classify that as an oshidashi. Like, yeah, it's like a push out. Like,
which is funny, because there's like, you know, 85 different techniques you could win. It's like that one doesn't have any kind of different name than an oshidashi.
Yeah.
Like,
it's like, yeah, like the reason he got into a position for the oshidashi was because of whatever that move was. So, yeah. So
I'd like to see if that move continued through its motion of what the intentions were. I wonder what kind of kimarate it would have been called.
Yeah. But yeah, like I'm super excited because, and again, the pack kind of shows this, that it's anybody's tournament at this point, but the fighting styles seem to be opening up, and it's more of a, I don't know, it's a younger man's game at this point, I feel like.
Yeah, I mean, we mentioned two guys just now, but between Tobizaru and Taritsu Yoshi, both on leaderboard sitting at 6-3. I mean, probabilities are very low for both of them not to take another loss in the next 6 days. But yeah, no, it's exciting, because at least if you have some people like the young guys being competitive, I mean, even Wakatakage is kind of playing spoiler. I mean, he's had a couple early upsets. He's beaten two Ozekis, which is funny because, like, he's winning matches that he shouldn't, and he's losing matches that he should, like.
Sounds like a guy I'd follow.
yeah, exactly. He beat Takakesho on day 3. He beat Shodai on day 5. And he's beaten Miyagiru, Onosho, and Meisei. But, like, he took losses to Asano Yama. You probably lose to him. And Takayomi. I'd
Mataki Yumi is on a bumpy ride right now. I don't know where Mataki Yumi's at.
He's like, sitting at 4 and
I mean,
five.
I know where he's at, but like, yeah, just like mentally, I feel like he's just not. I don't know. I feel like he needs like a sports psychologist or something. I don't know.
It's like, I almost feel like he needs like a significant drop in order for him to, because like if he goes like, let's say he finishes 7 and 8, he's only gonna get dropped one rank. But yeah, like we've seen guys like Ono Sho who went from like Magashira 1, performed poorly, like, you know, 2 and 13, and then he dropped down to like 7 where he kind of got his game back, and then he shot back up and he's been steady up there at the top the last couple tournaments. Like,
yeah, get some wins in a row or something like that. You know, like go down there and like smoke some fools down at like Magashira 10, like, because he's way better than he's fighting right now.
100%. I mean, he has 2 Yushos. He's technically the active leader in him and Taranofuji are both tied for 2.
Yeah.
So,
and yeah, I mean, he's gonna work. He's gonna run the table if he drops under Magashira 10. I mean, he won't this tournament, obviously. But if at some point he does, like, he's upper rank guy all over him. So
yeah,
maybe that's what he needs. Maybe he just needs to drop a bit, and get some wins under his belt again, get some confidence back, and then get back in there. But yeah, it's I mean, in the people, the sumo people, I'm being super vague, just in general, like they love this guy. Like, I mean, he's the Rikishi that's on the main page right now. Yeah. Like, there's obviously some value in his performance, if he's being showcased there. It sucks to see him that struggle. I don't know.
Yeah, especially since
seen how good he is. Like,
yeah, because him and Daisho are the only two people in Senyaku who are performing pretty poorly right now. I mean, 4 and 5 is not poorly, because he can turn around, he can, you know, he's so another. We do the sumo kaboom bingo, and I'm looking at my card and I was trying to figure out like which the best row is, and I'm like, is it sad that I don't have confidence in Mataki Yumi to bounce back to get me my 8 wins that row that looks good besides him? But I'm like, I'm nervous like these last 6 days, and like, is he gonna win 4 of the next 6 days?
Well, I mean, he's gotta go, so he's only gonna go up at this point. Well, he fought Shodai, so he's got at least one you know, Ozeki out of the way. And he fought Takakesho.
Yeah.
So yeah, he's got most of the upper rank guys done. So yeah, he can definitely, I mean, he's capable, whether or not he does.
Yeah, but like, I feel like you shouldn't lose the Daisho, and Daisho's like bad, which is bad for us because I was complaining last episode about them not putting Daisho up into Sakiwake.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, he deserves it. Like, he went from 1, he won the Yusho, he was, you know, 13-2. Like, he absolutely should have won.
He's got that sophomore slump right out the gate, though.
They stacked him, though. Yeah.
Hakuho, Takakesho, Taranofuji, Takayasu, Takayumi.
Even that Hakuho fight, like, he came really close to winning that. And we talked about that being his measuring stick, like, oh, you weren't here last tournament, so your tournament has an asterisk, let's put you up against Hakuho and see how it goes. And it was still pretty close, where
it was a pretty close fight.
Went out, and I almost thought they gave it to him just because it was Hakuho, and it was like, oh, welcome back, here's your W. like,
yeah,
but like, Daisho's looked bad, and I was looking at that, I was like trying to figure out how, you know, other guys in the past have done after winning that, because especially winning at Magashira, like, one, it's very, very, you know, uncommon for Magashira to rank Rikishi to win. So Yokozuna, this is, you know, out of 501 tournaments, Yokozuna has won it 309 times, or 61%. Ozeki's 121. Sekiwake is 29. Komatsubi is 9, which I'm also kind of surprised about. I guess it could just because it's 2 ranks in there, so it's hard.
Yeah.
Magashira is only 133. So I went back and looked at everyone who's like the last handful of you know, Magashira winners, just to see, you know, what their numbers looked like the next tournament. So Taranofuji, 8-5-2. So that was obviously, I think it was March of last year. Tokushoto, who's actually no longer in the top division, he's down in Juryo 1. 7-8. Asunama, 7-8. Tochinoshin, 10-5. And then this goes all the way back to 2012, which I've heard the name, but I don't think it's, we might not be familiar with it, but it's Kyoko Tenho.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I've heard the he was 2-13. So those were your last five Magashira ranked winners and what their performance was next tournament after winning. None of them besides Tochinoshin did well, and even 10-5 is, you know, not great considering you won the tournament before, but at least you had 10-5 and you got a winning record.
Yeah.
So yeah, there is some kind of slump in that, you know, I think most of those were also first time winners as well. Taruna Fuji wasn't, that was his second win. But I think the rest of them were first time winners. So
yeah, it's gotta be, especially, I mean, he got bumped up. He was up at the upper ranks though. Yeah.
It's Udaisho? Not like
he, yeah.
He was Magashira 1.
Yeah. So he was already up there. So it's not like he was fighting a new, like he didn't go from like 10 to 1 to.
Like that's what happened with Tokushoru. He got a huge jump from like 16 up to, or he was like 14 and went up to 3 or something like that, where it was that seems a little dramatic, but.
Yeah, and Daisho's no stranger, but yeah, we talked about this last time. I'm being ridiculous. Like, yeah, it's like Magashira 1 back March last year, Komsubi, Sekiwake, Magashira 2, Magashira 1 comes. Yeah, like these are guys he knows.
Yeah.
It's just off, I guess, this tournament.
And like I said, it might just be because he has like, he's like, oh, I got to go for a repeat. I mean,
there's a lot of pressure. Yeah, he gave you Hakuho on day one, which will, again, he still has the Hakuho effect where you're just looking across the ring and been like, well, I haven't beat him recently.
Like, I just feel like that matchup was a given where it was like, Daisho is the defending champ. Hakuho's the GOAT. Let's put it on day one. I mean, you need to get people excited about this tournament. Hakuho's returns. Yeah. You got the defending champ coming in. Maybe he can upset Hakuho.
Hakuho's not going to fight more than like 4 days. So, like, get the people in there. Yeah. No, I mean, and the last time he fought him was not exactly a year ago, I'm sure, but roughly a year ago. Yeah. And he lost. So, yeah, I think that's, again, mental game in this sport. I guarantee you it was something he at least thought about.
Oh, absolutely. He had to have. And like I said, like that's so unfortunate that they had to, because like that's all it takes to have a bad tournament is you get the top, the last fight of the day, you know, prime time. It was close though. I'll give him credit.
Right before they cut you to the news.
Yeah, I know, right? And he stepped out of the ring and news. All right.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, no, but I think it was a good test for him. Like, if you want to be Ozeki and win tournaments, like, you got to be able to, you know, handle that kind of pressure.
Yeah, it's kind of eating my words. Like, when I saw him lose, I was like, huh, maybe I was wrong about him deserving Sekiwake and, you know, getting up there. But that means that they really do use Hakuho as a measuring stick. Because, like, let's say they beat him and, you know, he finishes 8-7 or something like that. You could get he'll obviously get bumped up to Sekiwake, potentially. I don't know. Because, like, depending on how Matakiyomi, because I think the rest of the guys up there in Senyaku between Tarnafuji, Takanosho, and Takayasu should all finish. Like, Takayasu's already got his 8. He's the only one through 9.
The only one. 8. Yeah, that's crazy, too. That's a whole other crazy thing that there's only one guy with an 8-1 right now. I mean, nobody even had it on day 8. Nobody went 8-0.
No one was perfect. I think perfect was like 6-0. I think it was one or two. I think Miyogiru or somebody was going had like a 5-0 and he's lost his last handful. There was a couple where it was like really early on where there were no more undefeated wrestlers.
It's and then there's just some dumpster divers just in here for records. It stinks. It's got to feel especially bad in this particular tournament because it's like a tournament you could have won. You know what I mean? You got to feel like that. Like there's no guy running the table on everybody.
Nope.
I mean, Takayasu and Tarnafuji are your best bets really, but like even some of the 5-4 guys got to still have a little hope left. You know what I mean? Or at least finishing like 11-4. But yeah, like Takara Fuji 1-8.
Yeah.
Like at Magashira 1, that's got to be disappointing.
Ono Show 2-7, Magashira 1.
Mm-hmm. You got Okunonomi doing his Okunonomi thing.
Mm-hmm.
He spiked and now is on his way back down.
Yep, that's accurate.
Yeah, it's just like this is the tournament that's Sumo especially. It's like there's not a lot, especially in the Hakuho era. Granted, we're coming to the end of the Hakuho era. There's not a lot of these kind of tournaments, and I think that's why I'm so excited about this one.
Mm-hmm.
Is you don't have an opportunity like this to do well, and it stinks. It's got to stink to be spoiling that.
Yep. And what could be exciting is, let's say Takayasu gets one loss, Tarnofuji and him both run the gambit for the rest of the tournament. We could have a playoff between them two, which would be interesting to see if Takayasu could beat Tarnofuji, because it's funny, I had to look to see, you know, obviously because I'm like the numbers guy and I want to see, you know, how dominant you know, Tarnofuji really is. So he's faced, let's see if I can pull it up. Where is it? Yeah, so Tarnofuji, head-to-head. I was looking at a criteria, at least 10 matches, and he has a losing record. So there's only six guys. Some of these names are, I think, are actually really, there's only one surprising name. You know, he's fought 186 different wrestlers.
So clarify this for me. This is
Tarnofuji's head-to-head against someone else at least 10 times and has a losing record.
Oh, okay, got it.
So Guido, he's 5-10 against.
Okay.
Hakuho, he's 4-9. This was my surprise person. Against Ikioi, he was 3-8.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Ikioi had his number, baby.
So when you, because when you look at these other names, the other names on the list are Kakaru, he's 4-7 against. Casino Sato, he was 3-12 against. Takayasu, he was 7-12 against.
Casino Sato had his number too, huh? Damn.
Yeah, and even Takayasu at 7-12. I mean, it's only a 5-match difference, and I don't think that includes day 8's match. It might. But like even like Kotoshikiku, I think was like 7-6 against Tarnofuji. And I'm looking at this, I'm like, is Tarnofuji overrated?
Mm.
Because like he's not beating the guys that he should, like he didn't beat Guido, he didn't, or like these are the guys that you're going to compete against and like show, like Hakuho is, I wouldn't be surprised if Hakuho has, he probably doesn't have a losing record against anyone with at least 10 matches. I'll let that know. I'll make a note for that next episode.
Yeah.
But like Tarnofuji could technically be overrated because some of these guys I feel like
he has
the ability to beat but couldn't.
I mean, I think he's maybe benefiting from, because again, that Ozeki, that I don't know, the anchor up there was so strong back then.
Yeah.
I think he'll run the gambit up here. Again, I don't think anyone here is. Yeah,
that's a fair point.
Tarnofuji caliber here. So I think he'll be a better Ozeki now than he would have been back then.
Mm-hmm. I'd be interested to see what his numbers against the, you know, current Ozeki and current Senyaku are, to see like you're going to face all of these guys. What is your probability that you actually stay at Ozeki and can stay there? Because like I don't want him to be a one and done. I mean, he's only 29 too. Like he's still pretty young.
Another 3 to 4 years in him if he can stay healthy.
Yeah, if his knee can cooperate with him, yeah, he has at least another 3 or 4 years. And you know, maybe he does another Ozeki run. He stays up there for a while. He wins a couple more U shows. But yeah, I'd be interested to see how he faces off against the rest of these guys, because right now I didn't look at any of the rest of them, but Takayasu is the only one up there that he has a losing record to.
Yeah, I mean, and that'll be that's the highlight match right now. Which I'm sure any sumo fan is looking forward to, is that as long as they can keep those records.
Yeah, it could be a good playoff.
I mean, it could even be day 14 Tarnofuji Takayasu.
They fought on day 8 already.
Oh, right. They already fought. Yeah. So,
yeah. And that match went on a long time. I had to. So, when I was watching the recording, I actually was like, I don't like looking ahead because I don't like spoilers, but I was like, how long is this section of video? And it was like a 3.5 minute gap between like the start of one fight and the other. I was like, holy crap. they're gonna go still.
Because yeah, that was day. That's right. I don't know how I told you. You just said that literally 2 seconds ago. I'm gonna pull that fight up while we're talking, just because I'm gonna.
Yeah, I believe that fight was pretty long, between the two of them. Because I remember that being like, it almost felt like momentum changing in length of time, where it was like, this is a significant fight between these guys, because this is for the leaderboard right now.
Yeah, because you know, on that day, Takeyasu was 6-1.
Mm-hmm.
Or rather, yes, he was 6-1.
Yep, 6-1.
And Cernofuji was 5-2.
No, he was 6-2, 5-2, 5.
Yeah,
five
no,
and
he
one.
Was 6-1. Six and one.
We can do the math.
Yeah, math.
Yeah, 6-1. So this would have flip flopped. Who would have taken this? Because so right now we could have had a Takeyasu Cernofuji day 9 tie. But instead, Takeyasu got the upper.
Yeah, and it's a fight.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that was the fight. There was a few that have gone on for a while, and I thought it was Takeyasu and Cernofuji that went on for a while.
I'm gonna try something live here. You should jump into I want to stream this to you.
Okay.
Just so I think we're gonna take an angle. We're doing it live,
mm-hmm.
and. I'm just gonna mute everything on myself here, but we will. I'll just stream this to you and this thing, so you can see what I'm watching here. Let's see.
This is a live first time we're doing this.
Live first time we're doing this. Yep. I was thinking about it before we started, and I was like, oh no. But now that we're talking about so many fights, that I can just pull them up again. This is such a good. Such a good setup. Highly recommend if you're a sumo fan. $4 a month. I am not being paid to say this. No, not that anyone would pay us to say anything about sumo. They're probably like, please stop talking about sumo. Yeah,
probably.
but yeah, it's a hell of a match, actually. And it's just looking over Cernofuji's last couple of matches too, but and who does he have? Who's Cernofuji have on day?
So on day 10, he has Shima Naomi, who's 2-7.
Yeah, so that should be a win. Yeah,
yeah. Like it's funny because you look at who Takeyasu has. He has Takakesho on day 10. You have Cernofuji who has Shima Naomi. Who you can kind of read that as we want some drama.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're gonna give someone. To Cernofuji, who he should absolutely smoke, because mm-hmm. I mean the other options that are available for him is, you know, he hasn't faced any of the Ozeki yet, so Cernofuji on the back half has got to face Shodai, Asanoyama, and Takakesho.
I don't thinking about that. I don't think he can win. I don't think he can beat all three of them.
Also has to face Takanosho, who's your 6-3 Sekiwake West. So we actually know what Cernofuji has to fight. And yeah, that also stinks because he needs his 9 wins. I think 9, 10 will guarantee it.
Yeah.
So yeah, he hasn't faced an Ozeki. I'm shocked that he actually hasn't, but like, that's the weird thing is he hasn't faced an Ozeki, but he's faced a Magashira 4.
That's
Kiribayama. He beat Miyogiru. Like, I just feel like it's weird that they, unless they're just giving it like prime time, like, you know, day 13, 14, 15, you get 3 Ozeki in a row, prove that you're able to hang with them still. I mean, by then it might not matter if he gets 2 wins between now and day 13. I mean, he's an Ozeki anyways.
Yeah. And if they, especially if they keep giving them, I mean, they're not layups, like, but fighting a 2-7 guy on day, you know, day 10, seems like kind of a layup to me.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. And he's 2-2 against Shima Naomi. 2-2. Let's see, they haven't faced each other since actually it was only November of last year, but before that it was 2018. Uh-huh. So it was 2020, 2018, 2018, and then 2013. when they were both down in Makushita together.
Oh,
yeah.
Dang.
Yeah, Shimonomi apparently has been around for a while.
Looking at Shinomori's last fight against Asanayama now. I'm just confirming here what I've been thinking. He hasn't looked good at all. He's looked weak. Yeah, this one easily pushed out against Asanayama, no problem. Looks good off the Tachi eye, but had nothing once the impact. It actually reminds me, it looks like there's a knee problem. His knee's obviously bandaged up, but once he got forced, he had nothing left.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm wondering if that's that's probably looks like there's an injury. But yeah, you're going up against Terunofuji, Fuji, who's way stronger than Asayama from the set, just from how I've seen them fight.
Yeah.
Terunofuji's gonna just walk the clean house on that fight.
Yeah. So I'll go back with the Takeyasu fight in Terunofuji. That was not a long fight. I was looking at the Hokutofuji fight and Takeyasu. That was the long one. Takeyasu still easily beat Terunofuji on their day 8 match.
Yeah, I mean, I watched that. Yeah,
I guess it wasn't easy.
It wasn't an easy fight.
I felt he was in control of the fight more than.
It's a little spastic at the beginning. Mm-hmm. It's a little they're both kind of neither of them have a mawashi in the beginning. They're doing the underarm grip. Takeyasu grabbed the mawashi. He's got the outside grip on Terunofuji, and just he had it the whole time. That's pretty it's pretty bulldog of him.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty crazy. Let's see. I'll do it this way. Here we go.
There we go.
Yeah. So this is the fight here. So that working for you?
Yeah.
Doing it live. Mm-hmm. All right. So yeah, it's just weird. I don't know. I like that. Again, Tachi was really good. And then it's very spastic. See what I mean? It's it's not typical Terunofuji. The only thing in there that's Takeyasu like though,
he's got a great grip.
He's got the grip and just never lets it go.
And the crazy thing is it's on the opposite side. He was full fledged, reached around his back and so where the crack would be. He's got his right hand over the left side. If you're looking
over
at
the
it.
Knot. Yeah.
Over, yeah,
the
over knot that knot on the, is like
on the mawashi.
Yeah, and I don't usually think you get that far of a grip. Usually it's you kind of hit that knot, and those are your two pivot points, is mm-hmm. On your designated side, left and right. But yeah, with this one, it's he just gets in there, and he doesn't lose it.
He didn't have it until there.
Yeah.
He's got it right there. That's crazy. That's so mm-hmm. far in. And yeah. Then I think Terunofuji was done at that point.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't know. It's a playoff would be awesome. That's all I'm going to say. Because I'm sure Terunofuji is looking for redemption on that one.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And that's why I think they gave... it's Komatsubi and Sekiwake. Their strength schedule or schedules, whatever, it should be relatively the same. But I feel like they keep giving Terunofuji these lower-ranked guys for some odd reason. Well, Takeyasu, he's beaten everyone in Senyaku with the exception of like I said, he still has his face. He has Takakesho on day 10. And I don't think he's faced Asanoyama yet.
I'm gonna check out real quick just Takeyasu's fight on day 1 versus Meisei. To jog my memory on how that fight went. I don't think he looked very good in this fight.
Correctly. Yeah, because I think if I remember right.
Yeah.
Let's see. Let's take a look.
He's no grip here. He's just kind of flailing a bit. Never gets a grip. Just chasing him around the ring a bit and then just kind of gets pushed out. Oh, yeah. And then he gets the grip on him. They get the grip. Oh, it's a pretty good fight, actually. He almost has him.
Yeah. If I remembered right, yeah, that was it was a lot closer than I feel like it should have been. And I remember because we talked about Mace last episode and how you were looking to see how you would do, and I think he's sitting at 5-4 right now. So I saw this and I was like, that's kind of an upset win.
Yeah.
If you get a win against Takayasu. Now thinking about it, like now that he's 8-1, it was definitely an upset.
Definitely. Yeah. That's one looking at it now, watching it again. He should have won that one. Mm-hmm. That was, he had him on the outside. He just seemed like he was not as committed to sacrifice the body on the edge of the ring.
There's been a few of those where they've gotten like, they've not necessarily like given up, but they thought they had enough to maybe like get him out. And then they couldn't commit and just like,
well, it's like I feel like the way he's falling versus like Mace, if you're watching this, it's like he kind of commits to saving his body way before Mace does.
Oh yeah.
Like you can already see his arm down there.
Yeah.
And Mace is like, yeah, I'm just going to eat this clay right now.
Yeah.
It's like, it actually does
come pretty close. Like, let's say Takayasu pulls his arm away. He might have just a split second extra time before he makes contact before, you know, Mace does.
Yeah. Yeah. I just feel like that's probably, I mean, that's obviously, that's subconscious. You're not controlling that, but that's Takayasu, like, probably not wanting to potentially injure.
He did have the bicep injury. So yeah. Maybe
it's like, I'm going to try and break my fall here instead of just eating this to like my shoulder or something. Yeah. I don't know, but regardless, not as bad as I thought it was. I thought it was less close, we'll say.
Yeah.
So certainly an upset at this point with the performance of Mace so far.
Yeah.
It's
funny because we haven't we've been talking for a little bit and we haven't. I don't even know if we have left like the top Senyaku, Ozeki, Yokozuna guys at all, because there's some. You know, it's been some good low. Like, I'm disappointed with Kota Shoho pulling out.
Kota Shoho pulling out. That's a bummer. I wanted to see how Kaisei did, and he's middle of the pack, 5-4.
Yeah, that was actually one of the things that we were going to keep an eye on. We took a look to see who would have a better record, Kaisei or Aoyama. Both sitting at 5-4.
Yeah, they're both exactly the same.
Through 9 days, it's funny. I was like I almost kept more of an eye on those two than I did anyone else, because that's something that we had joked about. Was like, okay, so Kaisei coming off a month, you know, he was out last tournament because of the COVID outbreak in his stable. How is he going to be? We thought I figured he might have just an extra win, be like 6-3, 5-4. Sure, you have your winning record. I like Kaisei. I have nothing wrong with him. I hope he gets his 8 wins.
Yeah.
Because I want it in my bingo card. Aoyama is also sitting at 5-4. I'm sure they're both going to finish like 8-7.
Yeah, it seems like they're on 8-7 pace. Kaisei, for sure, should definitely get his 8-7. Who does Aoyama have left to fight? He's been fighting guys lower than him or higher than him.
It's probably a mixed bag.
Yeah, it looks like a mixed. He's got Kotoako on day 10. So another 5. I mean, most everybody's going to be a 5-4 at this point.
There's a lot of 5-4 guys. Yeah, like if 5-4 was something that you, if 4 losses was something that was, you know, common for a victory, some of those guys I wouldn't count out quite yet. But since it's so uncommon for 5 wins and the top of the leaderboard, like I don't think Takayasu is going to take 2 losses. I hope not. I might have just jinxed them. And I don't think Terra Nofuji will take another 2 losses where it's like all of a sudden the 4s are back in it.
Unless, I mean, I hadn't realized that he didn't fight the Ozekis yet.
Yeah, that's going to be a tough getting to your 9 wins, let alone taking the Yusho. Like, he's got, you know, he's still got those guys up there that he hasn't faced yet. And let's take a look at what his records are against these guys. So Shodai, he's 6-6. Against Takakesho, he is 1-2. And against Asanoyama, he is 4-0. So it's the only guy up there that he has a winning record against. It'll be tough. I don't think I I've been following it every day. I'm just surprised that I haven't seen an Ozeki Terano Fuji fight yet.
Yeah, it's definitely just a weird, because I guess that's typical. I mean, the top guys usually save the tougher fights at the end of the second half of the week. I just feel like they would have given him the kitchen sink.
I thought they might have given him at least one Ozeki through the first 8 days. Hmm. But to be like, you know what? We're going to give it to you right at the end. Last 3 out of 4 days, you're going to face the Ozeki. The only guys that are higher ranked than you, let's see how you do to get your, you know, 9 or 10 wins that he needs to get in order to get the promotion. I hope he doesn't come up one win short, because it all of a sudden like starts the reset and he has to actually get more next tournament, and it just overcomplicates. Like, I don't like Terano Fuji. I like the story of someone bouncing back from a major knee injury and diabetes and falling all the way to Makushita and then battling his way back up. I like the story. I don't particularly like Abi or Terano Fuji. And the reason I said Abi is because Abi is sitting at 5-0 down in Makushita. He's actually competing.
There you go. Wow. So he's making his way back now.
Yep. I think is he the only undefeated person in Makushita? Let me check. No. So there's three guys down there. There's Toki Sake, Tanabe, and Abi are the only 5-0 guys down in Makushita.
Interesting.
But yeah, I thought Abi was out for like a couple more tournaments, but apparently he is back. So if he wins the U Showdown in Makushita, he's going to jump up to like Makushita 5 or something. Like, he'll get a huge jump. Just accelerate his comeback.
So they don't have the Abi fight.
No, but there is a certain channel, people maybe that could have Makushita fights, which is great, because there's actually been a couple. I haven't followed them since day 5, I think it was. Let me see what this says. Day 2. Guy looks pretty tall. Looks like he could be a beast to mess with. His name is Shishi. Yeah, I think so. You know, he looked pretty good in his fights. Let's see. Where is he? Yeah, Makushita 44. He's currently 2-2. And also didn't realize that Makushita doesn't fight. They don't fight like every other day. So you could fight like on day 1 and then not fight again until day 5. So like, I was kind of keeping an eye on your boy Yoshi as well. Wondering when he would fight again. I was like, oh, you know, he'll come back the next day. And then he didn't. And then I didn't realize there's like a huge gap between fights. But
yeah, they don't fight every, it's like less than every other day, isn't it?
Yeah, because I know they end up having 7 matches. So I thought it was just every other day, but they could put you on to like day 1 and then 3 and 4 and then off on 8 and 9. Like,
oh, really? It's just very sporadic.
Yeah, I think it's almost like whatever they can fit you in. Because I think it's still like they still do 25 matches a day. And when you're down in Makushita, there's 60 ranks or something. So yeah, they have to do something down there to.
Gotcha.
Yeah, but yeah, the days can be pretty sporadic and when you fight.
Okay. Yeah, I'm just looking at some of the struggling folks here. Tochinoshin, namely, he is not doing well. He lost. It was an ugly loss to Endo. Granted, Endo kind of hankered him a bit.
Yeah, I saw that and was like, Endo,
it wasn't a full-on hanker.
See, that's the thing I hate is that we try and justify the hanker for people who like a little bit more than those that we don't. Because, like, let's say Tochinoshin did the same exact thing. We'd be like, oh, you got to remove him from the sport. Like, that's completely ridiculous. Like, you can't be doing that. But, like, with Endo, where it's like, you could kind of see what he was trying to do, where it's like, I'm going to jump off the side, but at the same time, I'm going to, like, try and grab your shoulder to, like, knock you down.
He at least took the initial hit. That's, like, the only credit I'll give him.
Yeah.
Is he, like, he didn't straight up jump out of the way.
Yeah, it came pretty close,
but it was close. But yeah, like Tochinoshin obviously sitting at 3-6, not gonna be going up the Banzukei most likely in the coming months. Kota Nowaka 3-6.
Yeah, it's been a rough tournament for him too. He's had a couple close ones where if they just like if he just did something a little quicker or took like one less
yeah,
step.
Yeah, he hasn't a looked more. He's looked young. Like yes. that's the thing with
that's
him.
A good point.
I feel like
yes.
He's just like he looks a little inexperienced, and I think that's something that you can kind of obviously we're super biased here. Mm-hmm, but like cool. But I feel like he can work his way out of this, like not maybe not get an 8-7 record, but like over the course of the next like couple of years. Like
I mean, he's I'm only watching, 23.
Right. And I'm watching this Endo fight, and he kind of gets so this was his fight on day 9, and he has a grip here and just loses it. It slips.
And I feel like that's
and then he goes into scramble mode.
That's the experience, I think, where because if you notice, I think Endo kind of does like a lift up of his arm to kind of bust him out of it.
Oh yeah, he just slipped that in there really quick. Yeah.
So that's like it shows the difference between someone who's, I mean,
because Endo has the grip on the other side, I think, is what's happening here. So, oh, Andy,
like he gets spun around. Like that's what I'm saying. Like those, like where if you just like, there's a couple different things that happen, he could have like got him out, and he's had a couple matches like that.
Yeah, see, Endo had the inside grip the whole time, and then he did that arm slip, so he's got him right here. Yep. Where I watch it, and then he slips it out, and then Kota Nwaka doesn't know what to do.
Yep.
He just kind of goes into, Endo was very much in control at that point, but like those kind of things, I think
he'll learn over time.
Yeah, it's just like less panicky. Okay, I got to switch my game plan now. Mm-hmm. Like I can't like rely, I have no grip now. What do I do? Like, I think those will come with age and time.
Yeah. I also think it's crazy that like we've met him too. Like whenever I see him, I'm like, hey, we met you. Like, I don't know if you remember us. I hope you did because what we did was silly, but no, it was, I don't know. It was cool. So like, I always feel like this, like, especially with him, we have a personal connection. Cause that was even like way after the whole thing, like, you know, the Sable Master came out and like, he was like, hey, here's my son. And I don't know. I always feel like, I look at him, I'm like, I know you personally. Like,
yeah, no, that was like, that was not something that was like filmed or anything like that. That was, we came back in, he kind of just gave us the story and introduced us, and we butchered some Japanese thank you stuff. And but yeah, that was definitely an experience. It was super cool to have like met him too. Mm-hmm. And more on that in what, episode 13? We did that on episode 13.
Was it 12, I think? 12-1 and 12-2.
Yeah, so if you want to hear how we went to the Sadagatake stable.
Yep, 13 and 13-1.
And met a lot of the Kodo guys.
Yep, I think
mainly Kodo Shigeku.
I think the only one who wasn't there was Kodo Yuki. So Kodo Eiko, I believe, was there, but he was practicing off to the side. I think we were just kind of so starstruck that we didn't really notice anyone besides Kodo Shikiku being in there. But yeah, Kodo Yuki wasn't there. I would have also recognized him.
And I think we've like, I don't know, since Kodo Shikiku retired, I feel like I've expanded my, I don't know, acceptance of other Rikishi at this point. I'm noticing other people now more for different reasons, which is kind of cool. It's nice.
Yeah, no, I'm hoping to find the next person I can like cling on to, because right now I don't know if there's a single person in the field that I'm like super super excited about. Like Wako Takakage, I'm pretty excited about.
Toby Zaro's my boy, man. That guy is, he's such a crazy son of a bitch. I'm just gonna say it, he's so crazy. He just does whatever given the moment. I love him. He's like, he doesn't do anything special or flashy. He's just like, I don't know, I feel like he just does whatever it takes to win. It's really fun to watch. Like, I'm just pulling up his Okinomi fight. He's just like all over the place. Like, and it gets him in trouble sometimes, obviously, but like,
I think he'll have success with that now.
Is the time. It's unconventional time. You know what I mean? It's like, who knows what's actually going to get you a win anymore. I think he'll do better these days than when we first started watching. Like he's not going to beat a Guido. Like,
no,
like that style fighting is not going to win that. But like, and I'm pulling up the fight right here with him and Ichinojo, which he won. And Ichinojo is from that era, mm-hmm. Of like classic sumo fighting.
It's funny. It's funny to think that he's from that era when he's also like 26.
Yeah, he's like he's like
super young.
He was brand new when we first started watching, really.
Yeah.
But like he's very traditional, and you can tell he just doesn't really know what to do with it.
So if you go back a second, because I had this noted, go back just a little bit. Yeah. So right towards the end, he clocks Ichinojo. Watch his right hand. So he gets like... him on the back side of the ring, and you can see that Ichinojo is kind of taken back by it. It's coming up like right now. Right?
Oh yeah, he slugs him right there.
Yep.
And then it's
one of those things where it's like, and they showed this on I think it was the NHK Japanese broadcast, and they like slow mode it, and you could just see him like completely like open hand.
He like palm smashes him. Yeah, yeah. It's like, oh man. Yeah, he's just like, I don't know. I like him. I don't think he's going to do, like, he's not going to, like, he's never going to be a Yokozuna or anything.
Oh, we don't know that. But that's the thing. I mean, we might have said the same thing about, you know, Takakesho. I mean, then again, Takakesho's looked good. He looks like he has his pushing and thrusting back that he didn't have last tournament.
But yeah, Takakesho is like he's another one of that that stable of traditional, well-rounded fighters. He's not a Tobizaru kind of fighter.
No, he's not.
He's very traditional and well in control.
Mm-hmm.
I make the comparison in my head of like him and like Tuukka Rask and Tim Thomas.
Yeah.
Whereas like Bruins goaltenders, like Tim Thomas is very unconventional, almost flop around all over the place, but got the job done. Mm-hmm. He's the Tobizaru in my mind. Whereas like Rask is very square to the net, knows where the posts are the whole time. Like is very sound technically.
Yeah, I'm always interested in looking at age because we always assume that if someone coming in is like, because Tobizaru is new as of the last year, we always assume that they're young.
Mm-hmm.
Tobizaru was born in 1992. Takakesho was born in 1996. Takakesho is younger.
Yeah.
So it's weird to think that like Tobizaru is the older one, but has the new Rikishi mentality.
Mm-hmm.
But Takakesho is the younger one with the older mentality.
I'm interested, what stable is Tobizaru in?
So Tobizaru is actually in the same stable as Kakaru.
Mm.
So I think that's why I think the last couple tournaments there's been a lot of pressure on him.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. We talked about this. Yeah.
Yep. So, I actually lied. Tobizaru is not in it. They're not in the same stable. who is it that's with Kakaru then?
Not Wakatake Kage, is it?
No, Wakatake Kage is in a different one. Kiribayama. That's what I haven't been saying it correct. Today I said it wrong. yes. So Tobizaru is in Oitakaze. Probably butchered that. And the other guys that are also in his stable that are currently ranked, Daisho, Endo, Tsurugisho, and Daimami. Hmm. And then you can go down to Daisho Maru down in Juryo. So those are all his stable mates. Yeah, it's Kiribayama. I've been saying it right in the past. I always get Kiribayama and Tobizaru confused with their stable.
This is a great fight, by the way, that I'm putting on with Kodonowaka and Tobizaru. Kodonowaka kind of keeping their traditional stance, Tobizaru just whacking the hell out of him. Mm-hmm. But like,
yeah, you can almost see Tobizaru like getting angry.
Yeah
like you
it's weird. It's like, I don't know, you just don't see this in other sumo fighters. Like, he's getting frustrated that he hasn't won yet. Like, yeah. It's like I got about 15 seconds in me, so mm-hmm. if I don't win by then,
yeah.
What do I do? Yeah, and then and Tobizaru ends up winning this one. Yeah, it's and Kodonowaka here,
he gets really close a couple of these times. Like, he gets like,
yeah, he almost gets him. I think he just outlasts him right there. That was a stamina thing where he just mm-hmm. he just kind of falls over.
Yeah,
because I mean, obviously Kodonowaka being a larger guy, that's probably part of it too. But yeah. But Tobizaru is, again, it's not just him, it's other fighters too, but like he's like flailing and twisting to like get out of grips. Like look at that twist right there he does. Like,
yeah,
right there. Like, it's like he throws like his right shoulder or his left shoulder across his right and just escapes the grip of Kodonowaka, knowing that that's what he wants. Mm-hmm. Like, Kodonowaka wants a grip. He's just like, nope, not gonna happen. Like,
yeah, yeah, he plays. He gets very defensive in that moment.
Yeah, it's yeah. So.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm excited for Toby Czar. That's something. I think that's someone we'll keep an eye on in the last 6 days.
Yeah, you know, even if he can get eight, I think that's a good.
I mean, sitting at 6-3, so he shouldn't have a problem. I think getting two of the last 6 days, getting at least two.
If he can end 10-5, I think that would be a great tournament for him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that'll be.
If Walker Takakage could come away with 8-2 again,
I would be surprised because he started pretty poorly. He took three of the first 4 days as losses, but like I said, he's had two good Ozeki wins, and then he's won three in a row. So he's been feeling something these last handful of days, and I think the rest of his schedule will be pretty easy because he's faced Sakiwake, Ozeki, Komasubi, Ozeki, Magashiro, 4-1-3.
Yeah.
So like they gave him the Senyaku guys and the Ozekis, and now he's going to get, you know, the lower ranked guys. So he should get his eight wins as well. I wasn't feeling that after the first 4 days, but he's bounced back. He's looked good too.
All right, so we're running time here. I want to say, what's your hot take for the last six days here?
I think Takayasu takes it. I don't think it's that hot of a take, but I think given his history, I was looking at his numbers and I was like, I don't know if he's going to be able to hold it. I think he does, and I think it would be a huge deal because he was in the same stable as Casino Santo. They haven't, I don't think that stable's won one since then. So like I said, I think his schedule is a lot easier than Taro Fuji's. So even if Takayasu loses one or two matches, let's say he falls to three, I think Taro Fuji could also take a third and fourth loss just because he's got a harder schedule. And then I don't think Giannakouni actually stays at 7-2. So
I was about to say my hot take is Giannakouni goes 12-3. I think he finishes close to the top.
So you think he wins his last six matches?
Yep.
Or his last five?
Five, last five, yeah.
Five of the last six, yeah.
I think they give him layups because he's got
he'll eventually have to face either
He's got Okunomi right now on day 10. So layup, theoretically, should just win with the way Okunomi's fighting. I think they give him a smattering of random around his rank guys for the 2 days after that. And then I think they start giving him Senyaku guys, and that's where he's going to pick up.
Yeah, he is trending upwards on his average fight rank because he had 8-8, 10-9, 10-7, 12. Now it's 6-6-5. So I can see, they're giving him the guys above him now. They probably won't. And like I said, if he stays on this trajectory, he'll have to end up facing Taro Fuji or Takayasu.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So but
that's my hot take.
I think that's all I had was Takayasu. I don't think I have any other real hot takes. A lot of, I'm just interested to see where people end up falling. Lots of 4-5s and lots of 5-4s.
Yeah, it's a lot. It could. There are so many Kachikoshis, or you know, that could or could not happen.
Yep.
At this point, like Endo, I would not be surprised if he doesn't end up getting his eight wins.
Yeah.
Like Meisei, like the way he's fighting right now, same thing. Like, wouldn't be surprised if he doesn't end up getting his eight. So. Ichinojo, I feel like, will definitely get his eight.
I hope so. I want him to be way better than he actually is. Like, he started the tournament really good. He had three wins, and I was like, he looked really, really good. And I guess I was kind of premature when I was like, oh, Ichinojo Yusho. And then he lost three of his last six matches there. So
yeah, and then there's some guys that, like Hoshoru, I wouldn't be surprised if he doesn't get his eight.
I want to see him do well because, like I said, his uncle's now in Japan. So I was going to be interested to see if he actually performs better than he did last tournament. And he was 9-6, sitting at 5-4. So I guess we'll see.
I think like this fight would be good for him. He's going up against Kaisei at Magashira 16. Definitely a fight he should win, theoretically.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this actually would go a long way for him.
Yeah.
If he comes out of day 10, 6-4 instead of 4 or 5-5, I think that's going to be I'd keep an eye on that if he beats Kaisei. Yeah. Obviously Toshinoshin done and a few others in there, but yeah, I think it's anybody's game at this point. Mm-hmm. And it should be interesting on our wrap up episode.
Yep.
In about a week.
Yep.
Anything else you want to do the plugs here? Yeah. I'm finally getting it now.
There we go. Check us out on supersumobrothers.com. Our Twitter is supersumobros. We're also on Spotify, Google Podcast, and Google Play, and we're not yet on iTunes.
I like that. And we're not yet on iTunes. We're not on iTunes. I mean, yep, we gotta. So. We'll do like an intro too at some point where we like. Are totally legitimate, and we're like, this is what this podcast is about. We're just not there yet.
No.
Another plug too. I've been plugging things this entire episode. If you haven't listened to the Barack Obama and Bruce Springsteen podcast, this, I know it's super random, but it's a hell of a podcast. It's like four episodes. It's super awesome. You should totally check it out.
Sounds good.
But anyway, with that being said, we'll see you on the next episode.
Later, everyone.